Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
It's Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
All right, hour two, Felger and Mass. As promised, right to your phones. That's right, John at the Ritz again. Go ahead, John.
Hi, this is actually John in Generalized Boston, but. To be gratias, I'll go to Maz for taking my call. I want to give you a hot take on David Price. He was a jerk before he joined the Red Sox. You remember back in 2013 when David Ortiz pimped that home run?
Yes.
And he got all sissy about it. He's a loser. He's a loser now. He was a loser then. And he's going to be a loser in the future. And I have no confidence in any of the Red Sox starting staff to go forward in the playoffs. Sale, he's throwing 100 miles an hour, bullets. I don't see where you get this idea that he's saving his arm.
Well, hold on, and I'll just stop you there, John. Strong take. The thing with Sale, why I have confidence in Sale, is because he's talented. He's really, really good. And he doesn't have a big enough postseason sample size for me to say that he's got a postseason problem. He's been to one playoff. So, no, when you're that good, you should have faith in him. And if you don't, then I just think you don't want to have faith in him. I mean, he's just too good, and there's not enough failure there for me to say that he's got a problem at that time of year. David Price, clear track record of failure at that time of year. You can't have a breakthrough?
Sure you can.
I mean, when you're that talented and have been at it that long, you don't think eventually it clicks for you?
Sure. Of course it could. But again, see, I get discouraged every time I see a game like the one in New York in that series finale.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, you know, that's regular season. We call that a big spot. It's regular season. It's in New York. He just completely melted. If he's going to melt in New York in June, what's he going to do in October?
Mike and Foxborough, go ahead.
Hey, guys. A couple quick points on the stats that Tony was rattling off. First of all, the Sox have the worst record against the A's. They're 2-4, which, of course, strengthens Tony's argument. And if you're going to include the A's, why not include the Braves, because they have a similar record? And the Red Sox are 12-14, as Tony mentioned, but 9 are at home. The Sox are 5-4, and 17 are away at 7-10. I just feel like if the record were reversed and the Sox were 14-12, that Tony would be pointing out the home and away splits. Hmm. In the second half of the season, the Sox play the aforementioned teams 13 games at home and 6 on the road. So that's very favorable for the Sox. Don't we always say you should win at home and try to break even on the road?
Okay, so Maz will respond to that. Just resetting, Maz said earlier that one of the reasons he doesn't believe in the Red Sox or doesn't give them a full mark for the first half is a record against good teams. And he defined that as the next 5 best records in the American League, which are the Yankees, the Astros, the Indians, the
Mariners and the A's.
Mariners and the A's. Against those 5 teams, the next 5 best records in the American League, the Red Sox are 12-14. Is that the right number?
Correct.
Okay, so respond to his counter there about home road.
So, first of all, he's right. I will probably find the flaw in everything that the Red Sox do.
Fair enough.
So that's fair. I mean, I do. I'm demanding of them.
Negative.
And when he says that, don't we usually say play 650 at home and 500 on the road and you're happy? Yep, that's what we usually say when the league is half decent. The league stinks. It stinks. Again, you have three teams playing 650 baseball. Three teams on pace for 105-plus wins. You never see that. And the reason you see it now is because the competition blows. It absolutely sucks. So in a normal year, sure, it's not a normal year. And I'm sorry, the postseason failures of the Red Sox work against them. They don't get credit for something they haven't done yet.
Jake in Andover, he joins us next with Felger and Mass. Go ahead, Jake.
How you doing, guys? So I want to talk about the whole thing you were mentioning before about Eduardo coming in, possibly being your number two versus Price. Now, I know you're saying, you know, our offense is not really the issue right now. We're killing people 12-1 and 10-0. But would you say going in, and again, you're saying the it factor, if you go in with Sale and then Rodriguez as your 1-2, and say, you know, granted, you beat the Yankees, you're up 2-0, do you think that the offensive power can bail you out in a game, maybe like a 10-8 game or a 9-6 game against the Yankees?
All right, so let's...
As long as... Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I got you, Jake. Can the better offense... And let's throw the manager on there. So where they're better than last year is the middle of the lineup and J.D. Martinez and the power and their manager. Can that in any way overcome the pitching? And not just winning 10-8,
sure.
But instead of, you know, you're scrapping for a run, this time you go up 2-0 in the second because J.D. Martinez hit a 2-run double.
Sure.
And now you're not scoring 8 runs, but you're up 2-0.
Yes.
And now your pitcher has a different mindset and your manager isn't going to crap his pants. And so, like, so, yeah, the answer is yes?
Yes.
You're saying yes?
Yes. Towards the end of the rotation, yes. If your front end starters puke on themselves, you're cooked, which is what's happened in the last couple of years. So their front end guys just haven't done the job they've been. But if you come out of it 1-1 and now it's your 3 against their 3, and for all intents and purposes, all things are equal. Now, look, Houston's kind of an exceptional case. They have a really deep rotation. But once you get down to 3 and 4 in the rotation and the games in theory should become higher scoring, can you keep up? Yep. But then this comes down to the bullpen again. Those games to me where starters are awash or starters are mediocre and relatively neutral then come down to lineups and bullpens and the manager. And so you better have someone in your bullpen that you better have a bullpen and give you 4 or 5 innings.
Here's Brian in Hudson, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Hey. Question for all three of you, really. But what one... good reason is there for the hatred for Bryce Harper? It's like almost every time.
Oh
you
my
guys
God!
Talk about
I mean, even just something as simple as did you see his headband?
All 99% of the time, the things that he wears, the bat, the cleats that he had made, he auctions it off and donates the proceeds to charities.
Okay, so look, I mean, I don't even know him that well, and I'm not a Bryce Harper hater. I'm just telling you, there's some optics there with him that are the guy's kind of a hardo. No?
Oh, I mean it. If you follow him on Instagram, it's the stuff he's donating. It's him. It's his family. It's him with his girlfriend, who's just a college soccer player. He's a handsome dude. Don't you think that's most of the reason?
Yeah, he's hot. I'm gonna do him. It's like, well, what does that mean? He's a handsome dude.
I think a lot, because I like him, but I think a lot of the reason that dudes hate him is because they would like to be him and they can't. He's a good looking, successful guy with a lot of talent.
Okay, again, for the record, I don't hate him. I know, like, we haven't done any Bryce. We all we said is that he's polarizing and that there are people who don't like him. I'm not one of those guys. I don't sit here and show up and bash Bryce Harper. I think he's good for the game. I would agree with you.
He's great for the game.
I think polarizing people are good for, you know, any endeavor. You need those guys. So good. I'm not bashing Bryce Harper, but there's a lot of people who do, and there's a lot of things that to not sort of like about him. That's all. Can you handle that?
So look, I mean, you know,
I mean, what would John Papelbon say?
Oh God. Well, you know,
he punch him in the face.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I mean, Papelbon's an asshat.
So there you go.
Yeah. Whose side to take Bryce Harper's side.
Look, I think part of the problem with Harper is the optics. And he's not, he doesn't come off as the most humble guy in the world, so people bristle at that.
Yeah,
to begin
if
with.
I had that hair, I'd throw it back too. Like I was in like a shampoo commercial. Are you kidding me?
Not me, Murray. Hair's overrated. To me, no reason to throw your hair around like that. Look, Hardo's a good word. I mean, the guy clearly thinks he's God's gift to the planet, or at least he comes off that way.
Yeah.
So that's going to rub people the wrong way. Is he a bad human being? I mean, I don't know. You know, he didn't run out a ball recently that was a double play that the manager got pissed off at him. It's like little things like that with him. But I think most of it is the optics with Harper.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, the hair and the head. That hair band last night, I wanted to take it and strangle him for crying out. He looked like a total donkey with that.
Matt and his father, boy, when you match him up with the old man, like, that's quite a pair. Is this Matt in Quincy or Boston? Either way, you're up next, Matt. Go ahead.
No, I'm in Boston now driving. Okay, so I called yesterday and just made a point about Betts possibly being an MVP candidate, especially over J.D. Martinez because of what he's doing at the top of the lineup and what J.D.'s doing in the middle of the lineup. Having said that, Betts came out, I think, a couple days ago, maybe yesterday, said something about wait and see to see what Bryce Harper gets for a contract. Now, and also J.D. came out and said something about he'd love to have an extension. The Red Sox need to do whatever they can. Whatever Bryce Harper gets, match it, put a little bit more on it, give him 10 years, sign Betts through 35, because if they make the colossal mistake of waiting on Betts for a couple more years because he slaps him around at the decision table anyways, if they wait a little bit longer and they go and give J.D. an extension, I'm afraid they're going to be left with a 40-year-old J.D. Martinez and letting a 27-year-old Betts go.
So are you worried about them giving J.D. the money first or Sale the money first and not having a leftover for Mookie Betts? It's a legit concern.
Sure it is.
I mean, again, if you just play out the market for these guys, Betts is going to be a $40 million a year player or close.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be in that range. Whatever Harper and Machado get, he's going to get a little bit more.
I mean, I think I gave you resistance on this in the past. The way he's playing now, it's not even debatable.
Well, no, but it's just going to be the market. So whatever Machado and Harper get, he's going to get right in that ballpark, if not more. So just wait to see those contracts. It's going to be 35 north of 35, I think. So if he's at near 40, J.D. Martinez, if he hits like this, is going to be 30. Chris Sale, if he pitches like this, is going to be 30 to 35.
You're talking $100 million for those three guys.
I mean, how do you survive? How do you survive the roster? How do you put a team together like that?
I don't think you can, especially without a farm system, which, you know, which would be a great way to control the cost if you had talent coming through.
This is why J.D. Martinez, I guess I'll just continue the J.D. Martinez hating, is a great rental. And see you later. I don't take the cheese on that.
No, me neither.
And especially because
Betts is the one.
With Boris standing right behind him like that, isn't Boris going to treat him like an arbitration guy, which is, don't sign early. Your price keeps going up.
Correct.
So what's the point there anyway?
No, I wouldn't waste my time there. I wouldn't. And again, the other thing is the reason he has an opt-out after 2 years instead of three is because his concerns about his foot. So you know what? I'm still waiting. Why, 3 months all of a sudden of him being healthy, 3.5, has changed my mind on how durable he is?
I think you got Martinez right where you want him.
Mookie's the guy. He's number one on the list. He's right now, for crying out loud, he's playing like a Ken Griffey Jr. for all intents and purposes. What he's doing is absolutely ridiculous. So, but just to put it into context, a little more than a year ago at this time, they went to Mookie. The Red Sox did. Do you remember what they offered?
It was a $25 million a year?
$5 and $100 million.
So 20 a year.
Look at that deal now and say, how do you not say it's a joke? It's a joke. If you are going to go to Mookie right now, and you really wanted to get him to sign?
10 at 300.
Bingo. Yep, that's exactly the number I'm thinking. 10 and 300. That's a starting point.
And he's still going to say no.
Right. He'll say no. And then so maybe you can take it to, you know, all right, Mookie, we'll give you 35, but for 8 years. Right? So we'll give you 8 and 260 or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Or 280. Like, would you do that? You know, now that's fewer guaranteed. Like, but you're looking at something like that now with this guy, given how he's playing.
Who's his agent?
It's an agency, and I don't remember, but it's not Boris.
Okay, so that's good.
To me, you're either Boris or non-Boris. If you're not Boris, I generally ignore it.
Okay, we started with Red Sox thoughts, and we will continue with those all day long. I do want to mix in some Patriots. Reports on Rob Gronkowski, and will he be there for the start of training camp? Thoughts on that. Thoughts on the young talent on your roster. All that coming up with your continued phone calls right here on Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
I don't know how you heard that, but I mean, I'm definitely going to look at my future for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at.
Rob, what would make you retire?
I'm not ready for these type of questions right now. I mean, I'm just going to look, sit down, reflect on the season, probably talk to my teammates. We fought all year long, all the receivers, running backs, linemen. I mean, we put all the work in together. So I'm just going to reflect on the season, proud of the boys, and just see what happens.
Rob Gronkowski post Super Bowl flirting with retirement. Perhaps we know he's not retiring. And now I guess we know he's not holding out. Let's do some Patriots here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your home of the Patriots, Felger Mass, here from our beautiful new Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. If you're watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, you'll see the new set. It is spectacular. If you're listening to us, it doesn't sound any different. So no difference to you. Either way, Adam Schefter tweeted today, in a year in which there is the potential for some notable training camp holdouts, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will not be one of them. Gronkowski is expected to report to Patriots training camp on July 25th, on time per source. And I saw Reese even tweeted out today that he's already there. Training camp starts a week from Thursday, I think?
Yeah, 9 days away. Yeah.
And he's already there. So your thoughts on that, Maz?
So, look, it's a good development for the team. I'm happy to hear it. You know, from a business standpoint, if I were Gronk, I wouldn't commit to it yet. But it tells me in all probability one of two things. They probably already have a deal, or certainly they've already given the Patriots assurances ahead of time, or did weeks and months ago, that they weren't going to hold out in good faith and that they would be there on time and that they would get a deal done.
Who caved? Someone caved.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Someone caved. Either Gronkowski's caving by showing up, or the team is caved by giving him his money. Who caved?
Well, see, I think he's getting his money. Now, again, maybe there
has... Do you think there's any chance that he shows up and plays under his current contract?
No.
Yes.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. And I hope the team's doing this. I hope we're leveraging him, which is, you have a contract, you're among the highest paid tight ends in the game still, which you have been. You can either play for that, or go enjoy Cleveland. Your call.
Yeah, I think that I think him showing up early is they put a scare into him. You know, we're really going to trade you. Are you going to be on board here? Are you going to be on board? You sure? Oh, you still maybe want to, you know, dabble in other things or maybe half-ass it because you want more money or whatever it is. We'll ship your ass out. Go enjoy playing with Garoppolo in San Francisco or something like that.
See, the whole Adam Kirkchin thing that, you know, that great day of crazy rumors like 3-4 weeks ago. I think there was an element of truth to it. And remember, the whole thing was Patriots threatened to trade Gronkowski. Brady threatened to retire. And everyone stood down. And the trade of Gronkowski didn't go through because Brady was going to quit or threatened to quit. I don't think he ever would have. But I think something along those lines happened. And even Bedard last week, didn't he allude to it again in another story on Boston Sports Journal?
He did. A couple of weeks ago, I think.
So, excuse me. I think that... I think there's something to that.
I think he's getting his money. They gave it to him last year. Like, why wouldn't they do it 2 years in a row?
So the team caved. Well, because last year his base wasn't anywhere near the leaders at the position. Okay? Last year, I can't remember what it was, but base of like...
4.5
Yeah, 4 or 5 when the biggest guys make 9 or 10. So they put in that little sweetener to get him up to the 9 to 10 range. Well, this year he makes $9 million. So he's already there. The highest paid tight ends, AAV. Jimmy Graham, number one at $10 million. Travis Kelce, number two at 9.36. Jordan Reed at number 3 at 9.35. Gronkowski 4 at 9. And then Greg Olsen at 8.5. So is Gronkowski underpaid? A little bit. But just a little. It's not like he was grossly under. Last year he was grossly underpaid. This year he's just a little underpaid. And if you're going to tool around on motocross bikes and act like a jack wagon and threaten retirement, that's not the kind of guy that gets a raise. So either come for and play for one of the highest tight end salaries in the league or enjoy Cleveland. And, you know, hopefully Kraft is still giving Belichick the leeway and the freedom to play that sort of game, because I think Bill would be right in that. Do you think Gronkowski deserves to be paid like a receiver?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Why? Why should the Patriots be in the business of blowing up salary structures and changing the whole the way guys are paid across the league? I don't want to be that team. They don't want to be that team.
Because this guy's a different kind of animal. That's why. And just do it because it's right. He's a different kind of cat. So, he plays multiple positions for you. He's part receiver. He's part tight end. He's part offensive lineman.
He's not a receiver. He's a tight end, which means sometimes you're kind of an offensive lineman blocking. That's not revolutionary. He doesn't change the position. He's just insanely good at it. He's not a wide receiver. Every now and then, as you know, they'll run him out there. And if the team's stupid enough to put the linebacker out there, Pete, in the Super Bowl, who was that? Who he dust Wagner, Bobby Wagner,
right? I think it was Wagner, yeah.
So, I mean, they'll split him out. And if you're dumb enough to put your linebacker out there one-on-one, yeah, they'll do that all day long. But most teams aren't that stupid. He hasn't changed the position. He's just really, really good at it.
Oh, no, no. I think, well, you say he hasn't changed the position. He's played it better than anybody ever.
Okay, but that's not changing the position.
Well, he's pretty good at every aspect of it.
Yes, that's not changing the position.
He should be the highest paid tight end in the history of the game.
So, fine. If you're telling me he should go from 9 to 10.5,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, but his worth and what he means to the offense, he shouldn't be held that financially
before.
Because of a label, because of what the position.
Label? It's not a label. It's what you play.
No, but the way that they break this
so
down is because of the label of position he's
it's
under.
It's not a label.
He
it's,
should make
it's what you play. Should guards make the same as left tackles?
No, but it's a different sort of thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's the exact same thing.
Yes, it is. This guy's the greatest. He's the best offensive weapon in the league, maybe.
So?
Non-quarterback.
So he should be the highest paid tight end in the game. He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be. Receivers make 17, 16.
So he's worth that. He's worth Antonio Brown money.
Okay, Antonio Brown makes 17. Mike Evans makes 16 and a half. I'm giving you the highest. Oh, so these are AAV. What I'm giving you is the average annual values for these contracts. Five highest paid receivers in the game. Antonio Brown at 17. Mike Evans is next at 16 and a half. DeAndre Hopkins at 16.2. Sammy Watkins at 16. Jarvis Landry at 15. Nice deal for him.
Yeah. Why do tight ends make less than receivers?
Because they typically catch fewer balls.
Okay. Does this guy?
I don't know. I'd have to compare it. I don't know.
No. I mean, he doesn't get 115, 120 the way Antonio Brown does.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about the touchdowns?
He's pretty close there, I think. I mean, I haven't even looked at the numbers. He plays tight end.
Okay, I'm just telling you, though, but there's value in that. Because you could say, well, Antonio Brown catches more balls. Fine. How many times do they hold Gronk in to help Brady with protection or on a running play?
He's a tight end. I'm sorry, Gronk. You're a tight end. You're not a receiver. You're not a receiver. And I'm sorry, guard. You're not a left tackle. If you want to make left tackle money, grow a couple inches, sprout a couple inches on your wingspan, and play tackle. You're not. God made you a guard, so you get paid like a guard.
Gronk should be the highest paid tight end in the league.
So fine. I told you that. If he wants to go from 9 to 10.1, he's got a case. If he wants to go from 9 to 16, 17, forget about it.
Okay, so who's the highest tight end in the league right now?
I just told you this.
No,
you
were
listening to the whole thing.
I
Jimmy
know you
Graham
gave me the list,
million.
But I don't remember who was first.
Graham at 10 million.
Graham or Jordan Reed or whoever it was.
Jimmy Graham at 10 million. Thanks
okay.
for listening.
So fine. He should get 2 million more at least than Jimmy Graham.
I don't know about 2 million more.
Oh, he blows Jimmy Graham out of the water.
Oh, he's twice as good as Jimmy Graham. I'm just telling you in terms of money. I mean, just because the Packers signed him to a stupid contract doesn't mean that the Patriots should follow suit.
So are all the other tight end contracts stupid contracts?
No, I think Greg Olsen at 8.5 is a good number.
Okay, so Gronk should be at least two or three million more than Greg Olsen.
And Travis Kelce, tool bag. Good Bryce Harper comparison.
Yes.
Kelce and Bryce Harper?
It's a good one.
Peas in a pod.
Yes.
Two dinks in a pod.
Gronk's a better blocker than Travis Kelce.
I'm just saying, I think those guys are... I mean, if you're telling me that the best receivers are 17 and the best tight end's 10, I think that's fair.
Gronk should be a 12 or 13.
Tight ends are tight ends.
Gronk should be a 12 or 13.
So, you know, I'm with the team on this. It's not their job. Let some other stupid team blow the whole structure. I mean, should Pittsburgh play through the nose for Le'Veon Bell because he wants to be paid... He doesn't want to be paid like a running back. He wants to be paid like something else?
No.
How stupid is Le'Veon Bell?
Gronk's better than Le'Veon Bell.
You idiot. You running back. They offered him what? 5 years and $70 million? And I don't know how much of that is guaranteed, but at least 14 and a half has to be because that's what he's paying under the franchise tag.
Right, and they said he'd get 30 in the first 2 years,
and
but unclear on the guarantee there,
And
right?
He turned it down, you idiot. You moron. You stupid running back. Oh, are you dumb?
He'll get it.
No, he won't.
Yeah, he will.
No, he won't.
He's important to that team.
I'll bet you he won't get it.
I don't think he's as important as everyone else does.
He's got 2 years left, and then he's toast.
He's more important as a receiver than he is as a runner.
He's 26 years old. You, at best, have a season and a half, maybe two, of viability, and then see you later. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Chris Johnson, bring in the next disposable razor. I'll name a million running backs who come in. You're so stupid. Le'Veon Bell somehow thinks that he's somehow different. And these other running backs at this position, he's got maybe 1 to 2 years left, and then you are toast, sir, toast, with a capital T. And someone's offering you, not just a franchise tag, but money beyond that, and you're not taking it? Oh, you idiot.
Dope.
You poor, dumb running back. You don't get it. You don't get it. And so, but he wants to be paid like a receiver. He thinks he plays an important position. Gronkowski's sort of the same thing on a different scale. He's not a receiver. I'm sorry. You don't get paid like a receiver.
Yeah, he deserves to be the best, highest paid tight end in the league by a significant margin. Okay, so again, I'm not going to fight you on the receiver thing, but because he shouldn't make 17. That's silly. I mean, that's silly. That number's too big. He should be getting more than he's getting. He should be getting, and you know what? I think ultimately they're going to give it to him. I bet you there's already a deal in place, and we just don't know about it yet.
Okay, so even Le'Veon Bell at 14.5 on that franchise tag, how dumb is that? What a dumb number that is. Would I rather have a tight end or a running back? Well, it's not even close. Of course, I'd rather have the tight end. But tight ends aren't receivers. You don't get paid like receivers. And I don't blame the team for not being the one that wants to go there and say, okay, we're, no one else will pay you like receiver, but we will. Just because why? You're really good? That's not the way it works. Sorry, I'm with the team on that one. If that's, in fact, what they've done. So we'll pick this up also. There's someone out there who thinks you have no good young talent. None. We'll discuss right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
What's up, Pats Nation? Last 2 months have been wild. There have been fake news left and right. No doubt about that. There's been some real news, but I would say way more fake news. But the last 2 months has been a grind. Just seeing where I've been at, you know, after the season, after a run like that, playoff run, all that type of stuff, Super Bowl run, you got to just see where your body's at. You feel it playing the game. So the last 2 months, just taking time, working out, doing different type of treatments, just, and it's been feeling good. It's the best I ever felt right now. Feeling great. I've been working out hard. And I feel super, super pliable. And it's huge. It's a difference maker. But been grinding. I'm going to keep on grinding. Going to keep working hard. And I'm excited for the 2018 season. I'm ready for another championship run. I'm headed to the Bahamas this weekend. About to shoot Shark Week. That comes up in the end of the summer. So for all you Shark Week fans out there, you Tiger Sharks, Bull Sharks, you'll be seeing me out there on the big screen, you know, on the TV screen, hanging out with the Sharks. So it's going to be a good time. I'll be bringing out my workout gear, get a couple workouts in. But excited for the 2018 season. I'll be ready to go, and couldn't be more excited. Let's go. Let's do this.
That was Gronk a little bit ago. That's courtesy of the Uninterrupted. Declaring that he was coming back and playing, and apparently he's not even going to hold out. So Maz is probably right. Something's already been worked out, would be my guess. I think you're right about that. Who caved? That's what I want to know. Who caved? And I think it's possible that he's just going to play under his existing contract, and that's the agreement.
See, I'd be surprised if that happens. And you know what? At the end of the day, it might be both sides caved a little. That's usually how most deals happen, right? In that, and when I say that, Gronk wants more money. He wants sweeteners. Maybe he's saying, no, I'm unguaranteed this time. The last one was incentives, and I had to get voted to the all-pro team to get it. And the team says, well, no, the incentives are there because you don't stay on the field. And so he was asking for guaranteed. They offered incentives, and maybe it's a little bit of both.
All right, let me give you one more football item. And this was written by ESPN over the last couple of days. And they gave a list of – where do I have it? So it was a list of – the best players 25 years old or younger. In other words, what they did was they said that, well, pick the best three players at every position, 25, it's really 24 or younger. And there was not a single Patriots player on that list. Not a single Patriot made that list. And they offered a couple different players at each position plus runners-up. And the Patriots did not have a single guy as either a starter at their position or runner-up in the next 3 years. And we're showing on NBC Sports Boston. Players who will be best at their position over the next 3 years. The Patriots were the only team in the league not to have a single guy listed who will be the best at their position over the next 3 years, either as a choice or even an honorable mention. And so I ask you, is that fair to say that they have so few good young players?
No. How old isn't Shaq Mason? 23, 24?
I would say yes, it's totally fair, but keep going.
Shaq Mason's going to end up being the highest paid guard in the league next year, so that's one. So this sounds like ESPN bias, and I never want to be that guy, but that guy. And Trey Flowers?
Okay, both Shaq Mason and Trey Flowers are 24 years
old. Okay, so there you go. There's two guys that should make that list. They should have two.
Okay, well, so hold on. Trey Flowers is a pass rusher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so they list two starter. So they list three guys and a runner-up. Joey Bosa with the L.A. Chargers. Would you rather have Joey Bosa or?
Well, I'd rather have Joey Bosa.
Okay, then. Well, then
there's one. No, hold on. There's a couple of guys.
Oh.
Myles Garrett, the Cleveland Browns. Number one overall pick.
Garrett.
What do we really know about him?
So I'm asking you. You have a choice. You can have Trey Flowers or Myles Garrett. Who would you take?
Taking Trey Flowers.
Not me.
Over the number one overall pick in the entire NFL draft?
Is that guarantees he's going to be good? How many number one overall picks have been bust in this league?
A lot. So I'm just saying, again, you have a choice of Trey Flowers or the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and you're taking Trey Flowers.
Yeah.
So if Cleveland had offered you the number one overall pick in the draft for Trey Flowers, you would have turned that down?
Yes, I'm dug in. I'm saying
no,
that.
No. No, you're smoking crack is what you're doing. So is it unfair to say Joey Bosa over Trey Flowers? Is it unfair to say Myles Garrett over?
No, Bosa, no. He came into the league and was immediately a stud. If I recall correctly, Garrett had kind of an injury-plagued season last year, so we don't really know.
Okay.
And he still had 7 sacks.
So their third one, you have a case. Their third one is T.J. Watt with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, come on.
J.J. Watt's brother, okay? So they have T.J. Watt, not J.J. T.J. Watt over Trey Flowers, and then they have Ngukwe of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who's nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think, and Ngukwe was the runner-up. So I think three of those four are fair. If you want to tell me Trey Flowers over T.J. Watt, I think you have one.
When did Trey Flowers turn into Lawrence Taylor?
He's pretty good.
Okay, he's pretty good. Yeah. Is he great?
I don't know.
No.
He made plays in the Super Bowl against Atlanta a couple of years ago. Like, he's an important piece on that defense as long as he's healthy.
He's a B player.
Okay, at guard, and guards are on your own time. They list a couple guards over Shaq Mason. Shaq Mason would be another one who I would say would have a crack because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after this year, and he's going to get paid. He might be the highest paid guard in the game, as you just said. So if you want to say that you have a beef against ESPN on this list, I think Shaq Mason is totally fair. Trey Flowers is questionable. So maybe they could have had one guard, maybe two. I don't know. Do the Patriots have a good young roster?
No.
They have a lot of good young players?
No.
Murray, do they have a lot of good young players?
Don't feel like it.
To me, this is as simple as the drafts they've had in recent years, or maybe the number of picks they've had in recent years that they never used because they traded them for more established players.
I mean, I'd love to make a case for Malcolm Mitchell, but it feels like he may never even see the field again.
How many good young players do they have? Okay, let's just list them. Shaq Mason and Trey Flowers are good young players. Okay, whether you think Trey Flowers belongs on the list or not, he's a good young player. Lock it. That okay, right? Yes, locked. Then there's three who I think are good players. I think Malcolm Brown's a good player.
Yeah.
Interior defensive lineman.
Yep,
he's sort of
solid.
Sort of a quiet, solid player, but good. He's 24. So are you willing to give me Malcolm Brown?
Sure.
Oh, not really.
No. I'll give you Malcolm Brown. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Okay, how about Adam Butler? Interior. He's good.
He's all right.
He's fine.
So, okay. Take him off the list.
You're telling me you couldn't find another Adam Butler? Who's answering these questions? Us or Bedard?
Okay, I'm asking you.
Yeah,
Adam Butler. Okay, fine. Is Shaq Mason a good young player?
Yes.
Is Trey Flowers a good young player?
Yeah.
Yes, Maz.
Is Malcolm Brown a good young player?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. There's three. You are such a
Adam
dink.
Butler.
Okay. Is Dedrick Wise a good young player?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, there's four. I think that's where you have to stop the
Jordan
list.
Richards.
Okay, stop, please. Is Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, or Derek Rivers, are they good young players?
Don't know yet.
We don't really know.
Don't know. And oh, by the way,
Adrian Waddle.
Can I shut up, Greg? Can I ask you something? Is Sony Michel even signed yet? Is he signed?
Good question. I don't know.
I don't think he's signed yet. Is this another dumb running back who thinks he's worth something? Who wants money?
Well, first of all, isn't
at the most
term,
useless position on the field?
Isn't the term dumb running back redundant?
I guess so. But I'm sorry. I can't give you Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, or Derek Rivers yet. I can't. I can't give you. We don't know a single thing about
Connor
him.
Connor McDermott.
No. Definitely not him. Then there's some players 24 and under who I know suck.
Mm-hmm.
Cyrus Jones.
Blows.
Not good.
Alandon Roberts.
Not good.
Jonathan Jones.
He's okay, maybe.
If no. Jameel Douglas.
Shh, Greg. Shh. If you want to extend it to 25 and under, just to try and expand it just a little bit, how many good 25 and under? So these guys are 25. The whole list I just gave you before is 24.
Did you get to Tooney yet?
Here's 25. Malcolm Mitchell?
Oh, I like Mitchell, but he's never on the field.
Yeah, he might not even play again with that knee.
Big question mark. Eric Rose, 25.
Oh, he's okay.
He's average. He's not good. He's average.
Is Eric Rowe a good young player?
No.
Yeah, he's okay.
No. He's average.
No. Nope.
No, you got to be at least a B. He's a C at best.
Joe Tooney.
No.
Okay. Take him off the list. Greg, is Jordan Richards 25? Yes, Jordan Richards is 25.
No.
Should be sealed in a cave.
We should have a category that says, is he a good young player or does he suck?
Jordan Richards.
Philip Dorsett is 25. Can you believe
that? No, not a good young player.
No, he stinks.
So how many good young... So we just went through the list of 25 and under players on the team.
That's it, huh?
Shaq Mason, Trey Flowers, Malcolm Brown, Dedrick Wise. The rest we don't know.
Four?
Or they suck. Four.
Well, this is part of the reason why they took the approach they did in this draft. They had two picks in the first round. Like, you know, they tried to use it, get some more bodies in this draft anyway.
Just ask yourself generically, how many good young players do they have? How many good young players do they have?
They don't.
They have less than a handful.
Well,
they
got Jimmy Garoppolo.
They got a good young quarterback. Oh, that's
thank
right.
Thank you, Greg. No, sorry. Right. Yeah, no, I forgot about that one.
They did. They had one. That's
look, famous. I mean, two really big guys are Dedrick Wise and Derek Rivers. Like, if Dedrick Wise and Derek Rivers pan out, you look at their D-line between Malcolm Brown, Adam Butler, Dedrick Wise, Derek, like they have something there. I think they're building something there, but those two guys are important. But if you want to say that they're really lacking in young talent, I mean, that's not unfair. We just go through the roster. Tell me who 25 or under, 24 under you want, or you say is a good, I feel good about him as a young prospect.
No, there aren't many. Look, and to me, they feel like a team that is going through a transition. I have felt this way from the beginning, you know, from Belichick to McDaniels, and now so Bill's overseeing sort of the roster rebuilding. And to me, this is all part of the deal. They need Bill there to make sure the thing is half functional by the time they hand it off to the next guy.
Okay, we've got all our Red Sox stuff. We've got all our All-Star game stuff. We got Gronkowski apparently going to show up next week. Who caved? And how badly should the Patriots have caved? I don't think they should have caved all the way. I wouldn't pay him like a receiver. I wouldn't do that. Not when he's running around talking about retirement already. That's the last guy that I pay out of position. And this, are you worried about the young talent on the roster? How many good young players do they even have? We discuss. Long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, that's Nick Caserio. I know Maz wrote it down in pencil. He was thrilled with the Bruins. The Patriots draft weekend. I'm sorry, what was your grade, Maz?
D.
Murray?
F.
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 D for definite need for improvement, and D for dinkus.
And I liked day one, but the rest of it can F and F off. Like trading away. Oh, let's stockpile sixth and seventh rounders. Get out of here. And picks for 2019. You need bodies now. Now for your 41-year-old quarterback.
There is nothing dumber than grading a draft the day after the draft. But if Sports Illustrated and ESPN and all these other places
Everyone
are going to do it,
it,
if everyone's going to do it, then you know what? I've no other option than to. I think it's for the second straight year. F. F.
See, you know what I think? I think these guys look at the Patriots and say, I get 32 teams to give grades to. I'm going to do the Patriots now because I can't possibly do 32 grades in that short a period of time. So before the draft even starts, because it's Belichick, they give him an A-. And then if they see a play that they like in the first round, they move it to an A or an A+. It's like I don't understand how you could look at the Patriots. Five picks in the first 95 with a defense that got absolutely freaking vaporized in the Super Bowl. Vaporized. It was like a freaking chain reaction out there, for crying out loud. They draft nobody in the front seven. They end up trading out of the first three rounds and end up with five picks in the sixth and seventh, and you give them an A. I want that person as a teacher. Who the hell would do that? That's like one of the stupidest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, Felger Maz, not a fan of the young talent on the team. The drafts have not helped the last 2 years. And let me tell you this, that even if Sony Michel pans out and turns out to be a quote-unquote good young player, I don't even count him. It's a running back. You have a 33-year-old running back in here for a year and then find the next guy. What good is a good young running back? It doesn't mean anything. So it's like even wasting, even if he pans out to be a good young player, it's a waste. Because that's the most disposable position on the field, as we've come to know. And if Isaiah Wynn is a good young player at guard, it's like, well, Shaq Mason's a good young guard. Like, what? I don't know. Like, it even feels like even if their draft picks pan out, what's that really net you in terms of good young players? I think what far more important guys are the Dedrick Wise and the Rivers and those guys on defense. Those guys to me are more important in terms of being good young players, or if Cyrus Jones can turn it around. But anyway, we're talking Patriots and Red Sox back and forth today here with Maz in our new Town Fair Tire Studios. Here's Anthony and Hingham on Rob Gronkowski. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. I love the new studio. So there's no official news that he got a deal or anything, right?
No.
It's just that he's going to show up, and right?
That's right.
Okay. No, I don't think he's going to get a deal this year. I think I'm more interested in how hard was the no from Kraft is what I want to know. Like, where they did, you know, they kind of go back and forth, and then once Brady said, I'll be out, and they were like, oh, we can't get assets for Brady, too. So they just said, no, we'll keep them both and figure it out. And
well, I mean, to me, I just want to know who caved. Someone had to cave. The Patriots had to cave and give him more money, or Gronkowski had to cave and say, all right, I'll play for what I'm on the books for. Just don't trade me to Cleveland. Who caved? And, you know, it's probably somewhere in the middle, like Maz said before. I'm just telling you, if I'm the Patriots, I don't go too far with it. He's 29. He's an injury risk. He's already talking about retirement. He's already all over the place in terms of his next life and the offseason. I don't go overboard on that guy.
See, I'd give him something because I think he'd walk otherwise. That's why it's part of the reason why I think the Pats caved. Because I think there's already a deal in place. I don't know why they haven't announced it. But I think they gave him a little bit more and said, okay, Gronk, fine. Shut up. We'll give you a little bit more and this is what we'll do. End of story. Because, look, you know, I'll tell you what my concern now is with Gronk. I worry about him being the same player on the line. He doesn't look as big to me now. He is. He's a lot leaner. And if he's not the same blocker, then he effectively does become Jimmy Graham. I mean, you know, and I'm not paying for Jimmy Graham. I'm paying for something better.
Well, to me, it's not about the blocking. It's about him being able to catch the ball
in traffic.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can shut Jimmy Graham down if you're physical on him. You can't shut Gronkowski down when he's, you know, himself. So to me, that's really, I don't care how he blocks. I care how he fends off defenders and, you know, that sort of thing. If he's still that guy, he's the best tight end in the game, maybe the history of the game. I'm not telling you he's not. I'm just, you shouldn't be in the habit of paying tight ends like receivers or running backs like receivers or guards like tackles or safeties like corners. It doesn't work that way. If you want to make corner money, play corner. Here's Alex in Nashua on the Home Run Derby. Go ahead, Alex.
What's up, guys?
What do you got, Alex?
Hey, so the Home Run Derby was awesome. Murray, I love you, man, but if you don't think that was exciting or anything, you don't have a pulse. I mean, one guy hit the ball like 480 feet.
Neat. What did the other guys do? Did they hit it far, too?
Now, listen, Alex.
Yeah, they did.
Wow.
Alex, I turned over, and I watched the end of it, so I'm not going to be a total hypocrite like I ignored it. But don't tell me it was great excitement. I only turned over because on my Later with Jules Holland show on MTV Live.
You having a stroke?
They brought in some Indian. They brought in some Indian gal and she was playing the sitar or something. I'm like, well, I can't watch this.
It's an odd sound.
So I had to turn over. So I did. I turned over. It wasn't exciting. I don't like it. I don't like the clock thing. You know, it's like.
Oh, that's made it better to me.
Well, I mean. Because they'll hit a bomb, and those balls are juice, or they're little golf balls.
Oh, totally.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, those can't be really baseballs.
No, they get the Pro V1 there.
So whatever. I mean, the guy will hit it a mile, and then it's like you don't even spend any time on it. Like, there were some that were hit so hard and so far, it's like, well, can we just stop and take a look at that one for a second? And it was just too quick for me. I'd rather them see just throw, you know, 10 swings. How many home runs?
It's very unusual for you to be saying baseball was too quick for you.
in that switch?
You of all people.
We continue with your phone calls. No commercials. Quick update for Murray. I'll learn how to talk, and then we'll get right back to your phones.
Touchdown!
Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.